Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with another person in the community, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult another person, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hellfire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that someone in the community has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to that person, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court together, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that all those who look at others with lust have already committed adultery with them in their heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose a member of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one member of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. As it was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that any man who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whichever man marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great sovereign. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. One day, the church sexton dug up a horseshoe from the churchyard and brought it to me in the church office. Now, it was an ordinary horseshoe, albeit a little bit rusty. It had clearly been in the ground for a very long time, and it should have probably gone directly into the trash, but I knew exactly what to do with it. The sexton and I immediately hung it above the door to the wing of the church that once housed the Sunday school. And then I wrote the horseshoe into my sermon, as preachers are apt to do. You see, my little congregation in rural Illinois had been engaged in this very drawn-out conversation about possibly opening a preschool in the unused part of the church, which once had housed the Sunday school. It would be the only preschool in our town of 900 people, and it was much needed. We had the space, we had the vision, but there were worries. Of course there were worries. Do we have enough money? Do we have the energy to do this? Will the children come? Above all, are we ready? The anxiety about this project was becoming such an issue that I was starting to wonder, as the new pastor, if it was really worth it to go through this project at all. And then we found the horseshoe. And when we found that horseshoe, I recalled a story that was told to me when I first arrived as the pastor of the church. Church members told me that in the late 1800s, the congregation had split over the issue of Masons. Could you pledge an oath to the Masons and also pledge an oath to Christ? Half the congregation said yes, half of them said no. Keep in mind, other people in the world were concentrated on the ethics of the enslavement of African peoples, but that's okay. We were worried at that moment about Masons. This conflict over Masonry was such an issue that it turned out that one half of the congregation decided to build a second church next door to the first one. They told me that families would arrive in buggies to church on Sunday morning, and half of the family would go to one church and half would go to the other. And then they would still go home together in the same buggy. It's hard to imagine today, isn't it? Thankfully, this division only lasted a few years. And when the congregations reunited, they decided they needed to make a big change. And so they rounded up their horses and they gathered some giant logs and they moved that entire church building, the first one, not the second one that they had built. They moved the entire church building a mile down the road into the middle of the city of 900 people, by the way. The entire church, though, moved with horses and logs. I so wish that I could see pictures or videos of what that looked like. 100 years later, we found that horseshoe in the churchyard. Was it left there by one of the horses that moved the church? We will never know. But I decided it was. I decided it was because it helped us to remember as a congregation our history. It helped us to be reminded of God's faithfulness. And we were encouraged that ready or not, this was God's building. And with God's help, we remembered that we had done big things before. Furthermore, these were God's children that we were intending to help by opening preschool. Were we ready? Maybe not, but God was. God was ready. God is always ready. Hear again these words from our second reading. My dear family, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. Isn't it interesting to encounter this message at the beginning of a week when UniLu's We Are Ready team has invited our architect to come and speak with us? We are ready. It was only a few months ago that we decided that we were not anymore to be called We Are Called, but We Are Ready. Are we ready? A second and maybe even more important question is, ready for what? These are excellent questions. And this is what we're hoping to discover as we continue on together in this path. By the way, Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday the 26th after church, yes, this is a shameless plug in the middle of the sermon. You should come to one or both of those. Thank you very much. Are we ready? Are we ever ready for what God is doing in our lives and in the world? Clearly, the Apostle Paul was annoyed with the church in Corinth. They were definitely not ready. They have been arguing, some of them saying, we follow this teacher, we follow this teacher, we follow Paul. Okay, but they were tearing themselves up from the inside, and this is the very definition of sin. In cravatis in se. This kind of navel-gazing is exactly the definition of sin. Looking into our own needs and not being able to see the needs of our neighbors or the world or the environment, creation. How often do we see this playing out in the church today? We seem always all too eager to argue over the color of our Advent candles, or who can receive communion on a Sunday morning, rather than to really consider what it means to be the body of Christ in the world today. There's really nothing new under the sun, and so it is easy to recognize ourselves in. One says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos. Are you not all too human? I hear that. Are we not all too human? Are we not all at the same time saints and sinners? Are we not all at the same time concerned for our own needs and the needs of others? Are we not all at the same time desiring to follow God and also worried about how it will all work out? Are we not all trying together to be the church in the world today and also be responsible with money? Therefore, calling Unilu's renovation team, We Are Ready, is aspirational at best, right? What are we ready for? Are we ready for what is reasonable? Are we ready for what is affordable? Are we ready, actually, for the holy chaos that may come when we say, here we are, Lord, send us. My dear departed friend, Michael Bernard Kelly, who was a gay Catholic activist, wrote that we should really be careful when we pray for the Holy Spirit, because we don't know what she might bring. When I was in training to be sent as a missionary to the Middle East, our global mission director, the Reverend Rafael Malpica Padilla, gathered us as new missionaries, all of us so eager to go out into the world. And he said, remember, you do not have a mission. It's a strange missionaries. You do not have a mission. God has a mission, and you are invited to be part of it. God has a mission, and you are invited to be part of it. We are invited to be part of it. I had the blessing the other day of sitting with our dear church member, Larry Nichols. Larry, if you're on Zoom, we all want to say hi. Camille, just say hi.
Hi,
Larry. We hope you're feeling better. Larry told me many wonderful stories, and one of the stories he told me was from the early days when the shelter here at Unilu was opening. And he said that there was some turmoil at that time, and there were people who were saying, should we do it? Should we not do it? How long will it last? Do we have the money? Are we ready? And what Larry shared with me is he remembers that Christer Stenvall was there. And he said, the way I see it, we don't have a choice. This we must do. This we must do. Hear again these words from the first letter to the Corinthians. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers. Working together, you are God's field, God's building. We are God's co-workers, working together. Friends, you are God's building. What is God doing among us today? What is growing? What's growing in your life? What is growing in this space, in this city, in this community? What is growing in our church today? I don't know what the answer is, but I know that something is. Something is growing because God is at work. God is still speaking, and the love of Christ, crucified and risen, is now and ever shall be shared with the world through those of us who have said, we want to follow you, Jesus. Are we ready? Maybe we will never be ready. But God is ready to receive the best that we have to offer. And together, in all our sinfulness and our saintliness, we are co-architects of the kingdom. Co-architects of the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Pray with me.
Favorite prayer from Thomas Merton. The one I go to whenever I'm not sure of where to go next. Let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.